Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
About 24 states have taken this step, but Ohio's governor just failed to take this step. Two of Ohio's neighboring states, Indiana and Kentucky, are among the 24 states, but Ohio's Republican governor did not see the importance of stepping up to protect some confused children in his state. So what has 24 states done, and what did Governor Mike DeWine not do? My guest today is Linda Harvey. She's president of Columbus, Ohio-based Mission America. Thanks, Linda, for being with us.
Thank you, Diane, for having me on today.
So what's the story? He vetoed HB 68. What was that bill?
Well, that bill was the combination of two bills, which everyone should find very, very interesting and very positive. The one bill would have banned gender treatments, so-called gender treatments, the medical puberty blockers, opposite sex hormones, and then any surgeries done on any minor children in the state of Ohio. And then another bill was combined with that bill. And this other bill was called the Save Women's Sports Act. And that bill would have banned boys playing gender confused boys on girls' sports teams and showering with them and traveling and overnight sports trips and all the things that go with that. So they had been two standalone bills. They were combined together last June. They were passed in the Ohio House, and in December, they passed the Senate, where they were sent to Governor Mike DeWine's desk, and he sat there for, you know, a couple weeks, and then he just decided to veto it. And he's getting major, major pushback on this, which is delightful. I don't think he expected to get as much pushback on his veto as he did, but
I was just going to say, people are seeing across the country what's happening with this whole gender ideology and what's happening to their children in school and how it's impacting them. So I'm very, very glad that he's getting some pushback. Now, I understand that DeWine justified the veto of HB 64 by saying he was deferring the decision-making to a child's medical team.
Yes, and parents. So, okay, if a parent believes that you're you know, that your child should get a tattoo, does that override the prohibition for children to get tattoos? I mean, there's all kinds of things that the medical community has decided are not correct, regardless of the parents' view, that won't happen.
Yeah.
Well, what's happened is we have a compromised medical community. They're compromised by money,
right,
research grants, and ideology here into this magical medical thinking that people can change genders, which they never can.
Exactly.
And so what we have is a governor who's now gone along with them. And we find out that he received $40,000 in donations to his campaign in the last 5 years from the Ohio, the Children's Hospital Association. So
that explains a whole lot. That was going to be one of my questions. Like, has he received money from LGBT groups or medical facilities, which you just said yes? Because these children's hospitals, I mean, people think children's hospital, they think safe place for their child who has medical issues. But these, too many of these children's hospitals are performing these so-called sex change surgeries or leading up to it with puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and finally the surgeries, the mutilating surgeries. So that explains a lot right there. Plus, I understand that he listened to, he said that, quote, parents that looked me in the eye have looked me in the eye and have told me that, but for this treatment, their child would be dead. Did he present any kind of statistics or anything with that?
No. And he's just touting a common complaint, you know, the blackmail, emotional blackmail that the LGBTQ folks have used on legislatures, on the public, saying that if, you know, you're sending kids off to die. No, we're not. You know, the issue is, what is reality? Reality is that no one can change gender. So if a person comes along and is thinking that they want to change genders, the first thing a realistic person should do, based on medical protocols in the past, is to say there's something emotionally wrong there. they need to be realigned with reality and to treat them, counsel them for all the other things that may be wrong. The other thing is that parents are not to give in to emotional blackmail from kids who threaten drastic action when they don't get their own way. I mean, this is part of parenting. So the combination of those two things ought to make parents who aren't prone to listen to whatever a doctor wants, even if it's crazy time, stop and think, you know, but they're not doing that. So,
yeah, they're not for sure. And, you know, my question is, did he listen to any parents whose child had gone through such surgeries and the child eventually regretted it, or that child may have also, you know, eventually committed suicide because of having gone through the puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and eventually the surgeries? So he was just listening to one side of the story.
Yeah, you know, he listened. Apparently, he met with detransitioners.
Okay.
Young people who want to, you know,
go
want
back
to
their true sex,
be returned to their true sex. And so it apparently didn't. I think he already had his mind made up, quite frankly. He's a politician. And the other thing is he had already made up his mind on the sports part of the bill. He said a couple of years ago that when it was a standalone bill, the Save Women's Sports Act, that he wasn't going to sign it if it came to his desk. Mm. So that slowed that bill down quite a bit. But there's so much more momentum on our side now because so much more information is coming out. He should have gone ahead and signed both, but he didn't.
He didn't, yeah. Did he consult Riley Gaines on this veto of the Sports Act?
I believe she was certainly part of the hearings at the State House, and that was recorded and video recorded. Okay. I'm not sure if he met with her personally or not.
But she was there to testify about the insanity.
Yes. Okay. Yes, earlier this year. Yes, she was there.
My understanding is that he also previously declared that decisions about sports should be left up to leagues like the NCAA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We know exactly where that would lead since, I think it was 2022, the NCAA chose or nominated Leah Thomas. Of course, that's the University of Pennsylvania male swimmer that identifies as female, but the NCAA nominated him for Woman of the Year in 2022.
Right, right. Yeah, so we know exactly where that goes. And so most of these organizations, the medical organizations, certainly the athletic organizations, have been co-opted by both money and ideology, and we have to use our common sense and keep pushing back against and bringing them back into reality, and in this case, into the light of true medical and biological science. So, you know, he's done a great disservice, and people are outraged. I mean, there is so much momentum here, so we're hoping that there will be an override to this veto, that we're hoping that that will pass.
Yeah, I know that there is a supermajority, right, in the House, House and Senate. Okay, so hopefully that'll happen, because I think that's how Kentucky and Indiana got their bills approved, is they overrode their governor's vetoes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Kentucky as a Democrat governor, Indiana as a Republican governor. So this whole issue is just crazy. Like, where has common sense gone? Not only among politicians, which I think that went away a long time ago, but, you know, as Americans are beginning to fully realize the danger of this and the lies that they are being fed by the mainstream media and by, as you mentioned, too many in the medical community when it comes to this issue, it's encouraging them more waking up, but it's discouraging when you get a governor, no matter what party, when you get a governor who's willing to veto a bill that was meant to protect minors from from mutilating surgeries, life changing, never being able to reverse these surgeries, and a governor doesn't have the guts to put his name on it and put his name on a bill that would keep guys out of girls' sports, which common sense again tells you that guys have an advantage over girls when it comes to sports.
Yes. What he has said he is going to do is he's going to use his power through the agencies, through the administrative state, to ban the surgery part of it, if any are being done. That was, we couldn't get a handle on how many were being done. We think some are being done in Ohio. Children's hospitals kept claiming, oh, no, no, there's there's not any being done. Well, mm-hmm. I think they are being done, but maybe not in the children's hospitals, maybe by outside private surgeons upon referral by the children's hospitals, most likely. Mm-hmm. And but he was going to ban that. And then he's also going to study the issue by counting how many, you know, kids are being involved in this. He kept saying it's a minuscule number of kids. It is not a minuscule number of gender confusion is rising dramatically among our high schoolers. We know that. But what I think he's doing is he's trying to throw a bone to the Rhino Republicans. Mm-hmm. If there's even one or two or three of them in the Ohio House or Senate who will say, well, you know, the governor's going to do all this. Maybe we need to be more careful. And because it's they all have to back up their previous votes in order to override the veto. We need all those votes.
Right, exactly. And if it's like Harrisburg, Republicans, they may vote for a bill, but if the governor vetoes it, it's very difficult to get those same Republicans who voted for the bill to vote to override the governor's veto. Which is sad. It means they have no conviction.
Right. There are always a few. Well, hopefully not always, but
hopefully not this time.
Yeah. Often a few that will fall to the wayside. We had that with our heartbeat bill in Ohio a few years ago. One person changed their vote, and we could have overridden the veto of Governor John Kasich.
Mm-hmm. Another Democrat, a Republican that acts like a Democrat. One of those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
He says he's going to study the issue. He should have done that from the time that it was passed, the bill was passed in the Senate, to the time that he vetoed the bill. He's had time to, you know, take away from his Christmas holiday and such to study this important issue. But apparently he didn't, at least he seems not to have done that.
Right. I think he had already made up his mind, and he's simply backing it up with some, throwing what seem like bones, but they're not going to amount to anything. Cause, you know, if he's so opposed to the surgeries because they're harmful, well, puberty blockers then combined, followed with opposite sex hormones, will radically alter, permanently alter a child's body. They will be permanently sterilized. If he's horrified by surgery, he should be horrified by those too.
And that itself,
and that's the essence of the bill. Yeah.
So was he afraid of a lawsuit? I understand that Kentucky's law was upheld by the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, and that circuit sits in Cincinnati, which I understand is still in Ohio. I know it's right on the line there, but I thought it was still in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sixth Circuit governs Ohio, so if there's a lawsuit, if the veto override is successful on Wednesday, January 10th, which is when the vote is scheduled, if it's successful, then there probably will be a lawsuit. I mean, we expect that. So we'll have to see what happens.
And where do they think it's going to go if they do sue? Because the Sixth Circuit has already upheld Kentucky's law, which, as you're saying, also covers Ohio. So is it just for show?
Right. It should be. It should be a no-brainer. So we're hoping that they can't find some other way to get around this.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Let's pray that on the 10th, that there will be an override. So, you know, as we're looking at this in Ohio, is it going to be the Ohio House who votes on the 10th to override his veto?
Both the House and the Senate.
Both House and Senate.
Everybody has to re-vote.
Okay.
And,
so it's going to be on the same day, then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So Ohio residents should contact both their state senators and their state representatives and say the governor's crazy, override his veto, something like that?
Yes, something like that.
Okay.
Yes. Ask for them to vote yes on the override on January 10th.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Now, as we're looking at Ohio and, you know, supposedly a Republican governor, it doesn't matter who or what party an individual is in. When it comes to politics, they are too often swayed by outside groups, and they don't have real convictions of their own. Which seems to be the case not only with Mike DeWine, but other governors who've done things that a conservative would not do. So, how does that reflect on the Republican Party as a whole?
Well, our biggest problem in the Republican Party is lack of courage and not being unified on what we stand for. I mean, we have a really good national platform most of the time, especially in recent years, but many, many Republicans don't follow that platform. They just seem to do sort of, you know, wave some conservatism over their policies and vote conservative right up to the, you know, before primaries. And then they do what they want to do after that. And they are, as you said, Diane, very swayed by these voices in the media. They're so afraid of being called a hater or a bigot or something in the media. That, so the media, because they're, you know, as we know, the mainstream media is mostly left wing. That's the voice that many, many Republicans are listening to if they don't have their own convictions. That's why you have to really examine a person's character and vote for the people that have the convictions. Those are the people we need to be supporting and not people that we can't depend on. Yeah. Because the fire is very hot in this oven and people have to be willing to take the heat and just say, you know, you say what you want to say. Here's the truth. Here's what I need. We need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see Democrats walking in lockstep, following every single crazy ideology that the leadership in the Democrat Party throws out there. I mean, they follow in lockstep. Not that Republicans have to follow in lockstep, but Republicans need to adhere to, as you're saying, the party platform is very conservative. And I would think that one of the things that Republican candidates should do is first read the Republican Party platform and see if they can adhere to that platform. I mean, it's on paper. It's right there. Anyone can read it. And you know, pro-life, pro-marriage between one man and one woman, against these surgeries to try to change gender, which we know is impossible, and it's very also not promoting the homosexual agenda as a whole. It's troubling when we see a real conservative running for office and a, shall I say, a less conservative candidate running for the same office. And at least here in Pennsylvania, we see the Republican Party, state party, endorse the less than conservative candidate. I'm sure that's not just a Pennsylvania issue, but we didn't come to talk politics, but it's yeah, very well, frustrating.
It's there. Oh, it's absolutely there.
Yeah. And and that's what another troubling thing is, the church doesn't tend to get involved because they view these things as political. When in essence, they, yes, they have a political bent to it, but they are moral issues and the church should be involved. So how involved is the church there in Ohio, especially when it comes to this veto of HB 68?
We have a good network of pastors that are have been speaking out about this. The primary sponsor of the bill is a pastor.
Oh, good.
Gary Click. He's a state representative. He has taken a lot of heat on this, but he's been very stalwart all through and stuck with it. And but again, as you said, Diane, you know, there's many, many churches that are still simply not speaking out on this. They'll sometimes speak out on the pro-life issue, but when it comes to the any of the LGBTQ issues, there is silence over and over and over again by so many Bible believing, they say, churches. And my dream, and I know yours is too, is for this country, every one of our states in this country, to see a revival based on repentance and a restoration of righteousness. And people, pastors who are courageously looking at the sin in this nation, are grieved in their hearts about it, are willing to step out themselves and then inspire their congregations to do so. When you get to that point, the politics fall into line. You know what you need to do to try to restore this nation and the lives of these individual people. We're losing people because they're drawn into sin so early, and then they don't even want to listen to the gospel.
Their hearts are closed. Second Chronicles 7:14 has the plan to restore a nation, and Christians need to read that, and pastors need to read that, and they need to follow those steps for sure. And you know, it's troubling when we see churches that are not willing to get involved in issues. And again, pro-life, a lot of times that is the one and only issue they may whisper a little bit about, but they aren't, by and large, they are not that loud on any of the issues, which is very troubling. But, you know, look at the founding fathers and look at that time period. If it had not been for the pastors being involved in that debate on independence and involved in the war for independence itself, I mean, the British were after the pastors because the pastors were so outspoken from the pulpit about the need to pull away from Great Britain. So, mm-hmm. you know, they need to follow the example of the Black Robe Regiment. So how can folks, would you have the contact information on your website so folks can contact their state reps and state senators through your website?
Yes. It's okay. On an article right at the top right hand of our website at missionamerica.com.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get this out and get this out and encourage Pennsylvanians who know folks in Ohio to contact those folks in Ohio to contact their state reps and state senators for sure. Well, you have a happy new year, and we'll be praying that on the 10th, the state Senate and state House there in Ohio do the right thing and override Governor Mike DeWine's veto of HB 68.
Yes, okay. Thank you so much, Diane, for putting the word out on this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you take care.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.